Knowledge by the knower of the Logos. The knowledge inherent in the Logos is available as an object of observation or inquiry. In first-level terms, we can refer to this specific knowledge, knowledge by the knower of the Logos, as cognition. Cognition sets out to know the Logos through the basic tools of measurement, calculation, observation, and prediction, the scientific methods that aim at disclosing fundamental laws of nature. The potential range of cognition is unlimited. The way matter behaves in space, the unfolding of events in time, and the patterns of actions and reactions by the self are all available to it. In one sense, all lower-level knowledge is cognition, but for the most part, the cognitive aspect of knowledge is subordinated to the more goal-oriented concerns of the self. When a goal orientation prevails and cognition is put to the use of the self, cognition is typically directed toward explanations that are put forward to account for the results of observation in terms of the established order. Explanations indicate why something happened and even why it could not have happened otherwise. Drawing on the past, such explanations have value for the future. Patterns become clear, allowing us to know things in advance. Action can be taken accordingly, and the added knowledge can lead to specific benefits. In this way, explanation aims to bring causal sequences under control, making the world of the self a less fearful and mysterious place. Thus, at different times in history, cognition may develop more in one direction than in another, so that certain aspects of the Logos become accessible and others are hidden from view. Accepting all knowledge as belonging to the knowing self is an example of a model that encourages certain kinds of cognition, but severely restricts others. The focus on the knowing activities of the knowing self leaves out of account a more fundamental structuring knowledge. It restricts cognition, which has the capacity to know through the Logos, to the role of knowing the Logos as object. Once this restriction is in place, even Logos as object recedes from view. What appears in its place are the structures of the prevailing order, including the first-level modalities of time, space, and knowledge. As cognition is reduced to explanation, the opportunity to contact knowledge of a new kind is lost. For example, the conventional temporal order does not allow for phenomena such as miracles and mystical experience. This is not because such possibilities are known to be false, but because the knowledge implicit in the temporal order does not know how they could be true. The Logos does not allow for it, and so cognition must deny it. When the prevailing order attributes knowledge to the self that knows, the self becomes an absolute. Based on this absolute, great efforts have been expended on the question of what happens to the self when it dies. But this question remains bound to first-level space and time and the knowledge they embody and allow. From a second-level perspective, we might see matters differently. When the self dies, it remains a part of space and time. Where else could it go? And what else is happening? When cognition is limited to the observation and inquiry of the self, the knowledge gained of the order will be limited, even faulty, and its solutions to problems will be provisional and incomplete, tending to lead toward new and unforeseen problems. Ideas and plans readily miscarry. Error and frustration of purpose establish a vicious circle in which error feeds on itself and knowing is confined within ever-narrowing channels. However, this is not the full story, for occasionally cognition can be full in scope, giving a lower level knowledge that accords with the logos. When explanation is used to generate verifiable theories that can be put to the test, inquiry tends to be self-correcting. Its observation will be complete and its predictions will be accurate. Its solutions will work well and will endure. But while this methodology may yield reliable results and extend the domain of the explicable, creativity depends on a cognition that operates quite differently, even mysteriously. To explore this possibility, we could rethink the nature of cognition itself. If the logos is an expression of knowledge, cognition is not restricted to knowing the logos. Instead, it can embody the logos. As this embodiment becomes more comprehensive, the prospect arises for knowledge of a new order. From this perspective, cognition reflects the free availability of knowledge within the logos. Indeed, the knowingness implicit in cognition is an ongoing presentation of the logos. At the first level, this may help explain why the known universe and the knowing mind correspond to one another. When the goal orientation of the self yields to free and open inquiry, the play of space and time presented by the temporal order, together with human knowledge, become factors that open to the investigation of inquiry. Knowledge can become more precise about what is known and what is not known, and even about knowledge itself. Knowingness can proceed beyond the knowing of the knower and embody the logos directly. Even within the realm of first-level knowledge, however, cognition can proceed in different ways. When the focus is not on achieving first-level aims, but on the growth of knowledge, it is immaterial whether an explanation succeeds. When mistakes occur or predictions go wrong, the opportunity for knowing remains.